Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire podcast presented to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your interchangeable hosts for this podcast, and happy to be with you recording another episode of the Bills Wire podcast with you. OTAs have been underway for a couple weeks now, the voluntary training, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. There's some good, there's some bad, of course, as always, but first I wanted to acknowledge and offer condolences. I know it's been some time, and our hardworking writers here at Bills Wire have acknowledged it quite a bit, but the podcasters, at least myself and Jeremy, have not had time to acknowledge, you know, the passing of Pancho Bila. It rocked the community. It was very sad. But one thing I do have to say that really, really impressed me was how once again the community of Buffalo, the best of Bills Mafia, has come together to, just do good, do really good. You know, I was really impressed with the Bills, with Bills fans a couple years ago when Buffalo made the playoffs after the drought, and you know how they sent all those awesome donations to Andy Dalton's fund, and it showed me how appreciative that Bills fans can be. With everything that's gone on with Pancho, his bout with cancer, and you know them donating the backpacks and everything else in his name and his honor, it's been something really, really special, and it makes me appreciate Buffalo a whole lot more. And it's not just people from Buffalo, it's all over the place, man. It's powerful, and it's really good to see. Pancho had a great relationship with fans and players alike, and you could see it in, you know, he was getting visits from former players that have moved on, that are still active in the NFL, that moved on, you know, current players. He just had a way, and he was the best. He was the best version of all of us, if you kind of follow what I'm saying. He should be a reminder to be better. Be better fans. Sometimes us as fans get a little rough. I'm guilty of it too, but I think why wouldn't we want to live in a guy like that's image? Dude is great. But I won't harp too much on that. I know it's a rough time for him and his family, but we do offer our condolences here on the podcast. And today was the Micah Hyde charity softball game, so that was going on in the community as well. Looked like a very good turnout. I think I seen Josh Allen chugging a beer because he was the home run champ. I don't know. It's cool to see. It's really cool to see everybody, the Bills being out in the community. Yeah, they're out there, but for like just events and stuff, man, it just goes to show you that the NFL is much more than football and how much the Bills mean to this community. It's really neat. All right, but we'll get into the OTA talk here. Let's see. So, yeah, there's been a lot of good, a lot of bad. Obviously, OTAs are voluntary. And aside from some injuries, Buffalo's actually doing a lot better than a lot of other teams are right now as far as OTAs, which is a great sign. You really got to look at it that way. I know in Cleveland there's been some issues with Odell Beckham not being there, and Freddie Kitchens is getting frustrated. I believe I heard Antonio Brown hasn't really showed up too much for Oakland. So dodged a bullet there, Buffalo. These OTAs are very important. And while they are voluntary, this is really where the chemistry starts to build between teammates. And we all know this team needs chemistry more than ever, especially our quarterback, Josh Allen, to pave the way, for the future. He has to get a good rapport with a lot of people. And there's a lot of people fighting for jobs right now, too. tight end position is swamped, running back swamped. There's a few, you know, a plethora of wide receivers right now that are going to be, you know, scrapping and clawing for jobs by the time it's, you know, you have to shrink down to a 52-man roster. But, yeah, the OTAs are important, and it goes to show you how the culture is here when mostly everybody shows up. I haven't heard too many stories of people who haven't made it yet, but there's been a, you know, I don't know. I think the media is just kind of looking at some of the stars and using it against them. But in all fairness, it is a really good sign that, you know, we haven't heard any complaints about Buffalo. We've heard a lot of good remarks from coaches and general manager Brandon Bean. So that's really good. But we'll start off with the bad. The first couple weeks were a little murky. At least the first week was a little murky. You know, I did say Buffalo has a plethora of tight ends, but we did have some injuries to some those people. Tyler Kroft has a foot injury. He has yet to return. And also tight end Jason Kroom, who a lot of people were anticipating, you know, really taking the step up this year. So the injury bug, that hurts, especially at this time of year. And I think Kroft is on schedule to, I think it was a broken foot, if I'm not mistaken. But he's not supposed to return until, I believe, the first week of the season. So it's going to be a while for him. That hurts. That's a tough break for him. But I've seen some social media stuff. Kroft's in good spirits. And Kroom, he had a hamstring injury. So I'm not sure how long a lot of the duration of these other people that were they're a little banged up. Cole Beasley, Mitch Morse, Frank Gore, running back T.J. Yeldon, and offensive lineman Russell Bodine. This past week, Quentin Spain, thumb surgery, but you know, things are coming together. It's tough, and like I said, this is the time for Josh Allen to really thrive and get that connection with a lot of these guys. But on the bright side of you know, the injuries, our draft, you know, the people that Brandon Bean drafted are starting to get looks. Dawson Knox has been seeing a big role, and, you know, unfortunately it's at the expense of two people on injuries, but on the bright side, Knox is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Next man up. And him and Josh Allen have connected quite a bit, you know, in some of the drills that have been going on. So, I mean, that's a good sign for Dawson Knox. You know, good step in the right direction for him. But yeah, that's what it is. Next man up. That's why the rosters are so plump right now, is for, you know, that extra workout bodies. This is, you know, this is the grind. Here it is. We've been getting a lot of good reports on Josh Allen, though, which is important. All Buffalo expected, hoped, wanted Josh Allen to take a big step forward this year. He should. Sophomore season. Hopefully, you know, right now he's on track. Hopefully, God forbid, any injuries. He's on track to have a full season. So you want to see your quarterback, the guy you know, spent a first-round draft pick on, excel. And so far the reports have been good, which is, that's a plus. That's an absolute plus. Me personally, though, I take everything with a grain of salt. I do. My life has been defined by getting my hopes up for a lot of things that didn't quite pan out. And I'm not saying that Josh Allen is not going to pan out. You know, misread that statement, but I have to see stuff on field first. And not just OTA on field. I have to see it in game against another team with defenders who are, you know, out to hurt. I mean, not really out to hurt, but out to punish quarterbacks and make them look silly. That's what I'm waiting on. personally. And, you know, but the OTA, this is a good step up when he's getting compliments from his offensive coordinator and amongst other people. It's a really good sign for Josh. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he looks comfortable. You know, he's smiling. He's just loving it here in Buffalo. So far so good. But I will not be officially sold personally. You can be. It's up to you. I won't be sold personally until I see everything on, once week one rolls around. Preseason two, it's like preseason a little bit, but mostly week one. That's the important thing. I just have to see it. I just have to see it. You know, I follow as much as I can. And one of the big stories last year in the NFL, I know I referenced the Colts a lot, was Andrew Luck returning from his shoulder surgery. He made some good passes in, preseason and off-season workouts and this and that. But, people, including myself, were not sold until I seen those results in game. And I think that's the best way to do it. I really think that's the best way to look at any situation is to analyze it from that. I have to see it on field. So that's what I have for that as far as Josh Allen goes. But things are looking up. You know, the optimism is definitely there. Yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter quite a bit, and I've seen people getting excited for passes with no defenders and... I'm just like, oh God, it's too early, guys. It's too early, especially with no defenders, like no pads on. Like, pump the brakes a little bit. Be happy. Be optimistic, you know. But completing a pass in OTAs with no defenders, no pads, not even 11 on 11 is not any indication of anything just yet. But yeah, be happy. Be optimistic. We've seen, he connected with Devin Singletary sometimes this week, but Zay Jones, he's getting, I guess he threaded the needle a little bit, squeezed a pass through a few defenders. So, I mean, good on that for Josh Allen in that respect. What else we got going on here? Some offensive line stuff. I'm referencing Nick Wotan's article from May 29th about some of his takeaways. First-team offensive line for the first week was Deion Dawkins, Spencer Long, John Feliciano, Quentin Spain, and Ty Nsekhe. So very vet-heavy. But week two, some of the younger guys were getting some looks. Wyatt Teller, second-year pro, and rookie Cody Ford got some shots. Once again from left... to right along the line, Dawkins, Long, Feliciano, Teller, and Ford. The offensive line is, moving up. That's some of the progress that we wanted to see. That's why, Bean went and did his thing, getting offensive lineman vets and whatever good pieces he could to help out Josh Allen and the run attack. So offensive line looking good. Let's see what's going on defense. All right, let's see. We got a number two cornerback update. Levi Wallace saw some first team action at the cornerback spot. But I guess Kevin Johnson is doing relatively well, so that's a really good sign. But okay, yeah, that's that for really defense. Things are looking good. Things are looking up. I do want to talk about quarterback tiers, too, because this was a big deal last week, and a lot of people were talking about it. I posted a tier that was actually referenced. I received some flack for it personally, but let me pull that image up, and I'll say it. I'll say why I believed everybody was where they were at. Where's my tiers? Okay. So I went with a three-tier system for my quarterback tiers, and What I did, my first tier was like the elite guys. Yeah, it was like the best of the best. And I have Brady, Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Luck, Patrick Mahomes, Phillip Rivers, and Matt Ryan at tier one. Tier two, these are kind of the guys that are a little bit above average. You know, we've seen bright spots from them. And, you know, we got Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. I received some flack for that. I think Baker has proven himself as in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the top 16. He's played, you know, he played very well. He's got a lot of help around him, yes, but he's making, you know, good reads, good throws. So signs are up for him. Dak Prescott, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins. This one was also controversial, too. I received a lot of hate for this. Lamar Jackson, I put as a tier two. And he's fringe tier two, personally. But what I seen, from what I seen last season, I seen a 4-5 team go and win most of their last stretch of games, going 6-1. And I don't believe they would have done that under Joe Flacco. Personally, I really don't. Yes, Baltimore was a defensive-heavy team. Excuse me. Defensive-heavy team historically has been. But there was just a change with Lamar Jackson under center. They could, you know, he could work backwards. Most running quarterbacks do find themselves, you know, at the top for a little bit, and then they slowly get figured out. But I have Lamar Jackson at tier two. Mitch Trubisky, Matt Stafford, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, and Eli Manning. Eli was another controversial one that people didn't quite understand why I put them there. But I don't know. Eli has been in the upper half of NFL quarterbacks for his entire career. Last year he was a top 10 starter, or a top 10 passer, excuse me. So, yes, he throws interceptions at the worst possible times, but he's still... He's still a tier two in my personal opinion. Tier three, and what I did here was kind of split it up into fringe starters and unproven, really truly unproven guys. And I personally put Josh Allen in this category. I don't think we've seen last year Josh Allen at his best, and we certainly didn't see a full season of him. You know, a lot of people are very high on Josh Allen without truly seeing what he could do. Did he hurdle over a guy? Yes, he did. Made some plays with his feet. But we're looking for a vast improvement here with Josh Allen. I'm looking forward to it. But from what I've seen on field so far, he's an unproven quarterback. And I personally feel like that's the same case with Sam Darnold as well. Sam Darnold, we did see a full season of with the Jets, but he did not have a supporting cast. I mean, same as Josh Allen. So I'm gonna give those two under the unproven's unproven category. I can't just put them at tier two for nothing. But and some people might have them at tier two. Some people might have them higher, and that's okay. I don't crap on other people's opinions as long as they don't crap on mine. It's just the way I see things. But they're in company with like tier three, like fringe starters like Joe Flacco right now, fringe starter Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, maybe Nick Foles, I guess, Jameis Winston. Those guys, I mean, they're guess maybe not fringe starters, but they're kind of middle of the road. And Kyler Murray is another unproven. I also have Marcus Mariota down here. He's been, you know, hurt. He hasn't had a whole lot around him, but I would kind of consider him a fringe starter. But that's just me. But with Josh, me putting Josh Allen in there, I know this is, you know, Bills. This is for, you know, this podcast is very pro-Bills. But I have to be honest. I haven't seen enough out of Josh Allen yet, but that's not a knock at all. This season, I fully expect him to grow leaps and bounds. And once I see that on the field, once I see that in game situations where a defense is ready to pummel him, and you know, take him out of a game, disrupt his playmaking ability. And if he proves himself, then that's the kind of growth I'm looking for as a, not only as a fan, as a, you know, just as a somebody who has to, who deals with the Bills, who talks about the Bills relatively regularly. But that's just what I got today. As more stories develop, as OTAs and everything else starts to come too, we'll have much more to talk about here at Bills Wire. But if you haven't done it yet, go check out the Kyle Slaggie Variety Hour. He just started up his own podcast. He did episode one last week with Justin DeLauro, and hopefully I said their last names right. Probably didn't. My apologies, guys. But go check their stuff out. You know, they're having some really in-depth conversations, a little bit out of the box. You know, I got a million other podcasts personally myself that I deal with on a regular basis, and I do stuff as news happens. With Kyle's new show, he's talking about a variety of different things. He raised the question. He actually had a discussion about it. It was really good, about whether the Bills should pursue Minnesota Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph. And it was actually, it was really good. They covered a bunch of different topics, a bunch of different Bills stuff. So make sure you go check them out. I will, yeah, as stuff happens, you know, major stuff happens, maybe bi-weekly as far as camps go, as any news. I will put out episodes as, you know, as I can. And once we hit preseason and regular season, I'll be active at least every week. But I don't want to waste episodes. Not that I really have a limit. I don't want to just put episodes out for the sake of it. I want there to be a meaning behind it. But yeah, that's it for me this week. Support, you know, keep following Bills Wire. All the writers are doing so good, and I'm very proud to be a part of this group. I've learned a lot personally. And even though I don't really chit-chat a whole lot with them, I really admire these guys' work ethic. I'm almost nervous to share some of my opinions sometime. It's not like a bad thing. But these guys are just so wild. This is their livelihood. I'm a guy, I work a 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. construction job, and I have opinions on football that I want to talk about because I just want to talk about them. But these guys are livelihoods, so support them, follow them. They deserve your attention, and yeah, they do really, really good work. I'm proud of them. But that's it for me. I know I've said that multiple times, but this is definitely it for this episode of the Bills Wire Podcast. I'll talk to you guys soon. Go Bills!